Let's just invite Holy Spirit. I need to pray through this for God's guidance here and for us to receive. Lord, your word is truth. It is powerful. It is life. It is the bread we are to daily feed on. It heals. It cuts. It cuts us open, your word says, and exposes all the things inside of us that you want to replace and repair and fix, and the brokenness and the hurts, the wrong thinking. Lord, you want to come and heal us and deliver us from what life has thrown at us. God, you're the only one who can do that. There's not a counselor on planet Earth who can set us free the way you can. And so we submit to your words. We submit to you, God Almighty, Holy Spirit, and Jesus. We ask you to come and speak to our hearts and open this text up to us so that we might understand the times we are in and respond according to your calling on our lives. We thank you for your move in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I sent you out what I was going to preach on, Psalm 110. Psalm 110 is called a coronation psalm. The king is coronated, or God Almighty has set up his king. And I got Wendy to read Psalm chapter 2, which is also a messianic psalm describing the reign of Christ, or the reign of the Messiah. And what we see is that God has set up his son on Zion to rule and reign. Now, we don't see that in all its fullness yet. But there's a day coming, if you've read your Bible and you have been listening to the sermons preached through the prophets over the summer, you will realize that God is absolutely in control, has a plan that he will execute and is executing, and it will unfold exactly the way he wants it to. Nothing will stop it, not a pandemic or a war or a corrupt leader. Nothing will change the fact that God has written in his word what he's going to do, and he will establish his rule and reign and his throne, and Jesus Christ will sit on that throne and judge his enemies. And we, his people, will enjoy peace and joy forever in his presence. That's basically the gospel. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. Psalm 110, let us go there. 7 verses, really powerful. Verse 1, I'm reading from the... What should I read? I have 3 translations here. Maybe I'll read from the NIV, because it's probably closest to what you have. I've put in the translation, the Hebrew name for God, beside the word Lord. The Lord Yahweh says to my Lord, Adonai, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord Yahweh will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on your day of battle, arrayed in holy splendor. Your young men will come to you like dew from the morning's womb. The Lord Yahweh has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The Lord Adonai is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of his wrath. He will judge the nations, heaping up the dead and crushing the rulers of the whole earth. He will drink from a brook along the way, and so he will lift his head high. Incredible promises, verse 1 and verse 4. God promises to set up the Lord Jesus Christ as ruler and to put every enemy of Christ under Christ's feet. And in verse 4, the Lord God Almighty Yahweh has sworn he will not change his mind, that he will establish the priest in the order of Melchizedek forever. Now, this psalm is quoted more than any other in the New Testament by the New Testament writers. And we don't have to guess what the psalm is talking about, because the Bible interprets the Bible, and the New Testament says that it's talking about Christ. Actually, it goes even further than that. I would like you to turn to Matthew chapter 22, verse 44. Jesus is interacting with the Pharisees and the Sadducees in this chapter, at the very end of the chapter. He's explaining to them the great commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he says, love your neighbor as yourself, verse 39. And then he says, on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, verse 41, saying, what do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. So he said to them, how does David, in the Spirit, or by the Spirit of God, call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put the enemies beneath thy feet. If David then calls him Lord, how is he son? What Jesus is doing is proclaiming his divinity, declaring that he is Lord, that this Messiah of whom David speaks, and it's not David, if you notice very clearly, it says David in the Spirit called him Lord. David writes, the Lord said to my Lord, the Lord God Almighty said to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool. And so Jesus himself is declaring to the Sadducees and Pharisees, he's not only the son of David, he's the son of man that was promised to come, and he's the son of God, making him divine. Now there is a huge attack on Christianity these days, and it's, in my opinion and many others, it won't be long before this Bible is outlawed. We're going into a time of persecution, where a Christian will have to decide whom they're going to follow, whether it be the God of this world or the God of Yahweh, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or the King of the Land. And we are getting very close to that. And I would challenge you that in many cases we are already there, where they are throwing out the Bible in schools, they're rewriting history, they're trying to get rid of Christianity as some oppressive regime that has destroyed the lives of many, many people. And I would agree that religion has done that to some degree. But Christianity, those people who follow Christ are not of that religion. We are not of the religion called Christianity. We are followers of Jesus Christ. And I need to make a distinction, and so do you. When someone confronts you and says, are you a Christian? You say, no, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, because I do not identify anymore with the church that we see out there. I won't name them all, but the mainline churches, the Presbyterians, the Anglicans, all those churches who have abandoned the faith, who don't see Jesus Christ as Lord. They would not see Jesus in Psalm 110. I'm going to get a little heated this afternoon, because I want you guys to get excited and know what you believe. I want you to get excited about Jesus. He is who he says he is, no matter what any other church leader, world leader, anyone else says. Jesus Christ is Lord and King and will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's right. And that's the bottom line. And hopefully you have that belief. Now, Jesus was declared King by God. He existed before. The whole world was created by him. That's what Colossians says. He is God. I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, Jesus said. Okay? He is God. We need to stand on that truth, because many out there are saying he's not. There are many gods, there are many ways to God, but no one comes to the Father except through Christ. Okay? So the challenge this afternoon is, are we going to stand for truth? Are we going to allow the world to silence us? I've written no notes because I want God to speak. And I'm telling you that God is looking for a people to rise up and start declaring truth. And I'm just going to speak from my heart and what I see. The world is after your children. Okay? Satan has started in schools, and I can get into specifics under Kathleen Wynne when she introduced the new curriculum that was all about sexualizing our children into homosexuality and all that stuff. And it is the law of the land. they have made this sexual deviancy the law of the land, and anybody who opposes it is breaking the law. Anybody who preaches the word of God is breaking the law. And friends, the church is silent in many cases. But there are very few individuals who are standing up and declaring the truth. And I'm going to ask you today, right now, at 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, are you going to stand for Christ, or are you going to let the world dictate what you believe and dictate what your kids believe? That's where we're at. And are you willing to pay the price for standing up for truth? Now, those who are, and I need to say this, because it has come to my attention that many people are suffering, especially physical sickness. And as I meditate on what I see that those who are suffering are the frontline ministers. They're the ones who are bold about their faith. They're the ones who go out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ and don't camouflage it like God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. They declare Jesus Christ as Lord, and you need to bow your knee to him. That is the gospel, because one day, as we just read, Jesus Christ will rule, and if we don't bow our knee this side of heaven, we will be forced to bow on the other side. Okay? Are you with me so far? Jesus Christ is King. He will not be mocked. There is no other God. There is no other Savior. There is no other Lord. There is no other King. No matter what other religions say, no matter what other pastors of other denominations say, no matter what other religions say or leaders say, Jesus Christ is King. That's the bottom line. Do you believe that in your heart completely to be able to defend it? Do you believe the King of Kings and Lord of Lords wrote a rule of law for his kingdom? Here it is. Do you believe that? Do you know it? Do you know what the law of God is for his kingdom? Do you know what he requires of you? Let's go to Psalm 110 again. Something really interesting is stated here. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make thine enemies a footstool. Now that literally means, from scripture, that term means that the one who defeated the king would come and put his neck on that defeated king. Okay, his foot would literally rest on the neck of the king or leader he just defeated. And so that is the image there. Sit at my right hand. We have many, 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 many scriptures where Jesus Christ has been raised to the right hand of God, seated on the throne with Christ. And he is reigning and ruling and been declared king. And he's been given power and authority, Matthew 28:18. All authority has been given to me, right? That's our God. He rules and reigns with power and authority. He is ruling in the midst of his enemies, whether his enemies, which are out there, which are in the school system, which are in government, which are leading our land, if they refuse to bow their knee to Jesus, it does not negate the fact that he is still king, and they are his enemy, because they will not bow their knee to him. They will not receive him as king. But this is the thing that jumps out to me and what God really wants us to hear. Your people, God is speaking to Jesus, your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power, in holy array. From the womb of dawn, thy youth are to thee as the dew. Let me read it in a different translation. Your people from the Message will freely join you, resplendent in holy armor on the great day of your conquest. Join you at the fresh break of day. Join you with all vigor of youth. I think one translation says, in the beauty of holiness. So here it is. Church of Jesus Christ, those who call upon the name of the Lord and are saved, and those who declare Jesus as King of their life, you are the people of God. Are you going to volunteer freely in the day of his power? When is his power? There is a future day of his power. Will he come back and will destroy the enemy once and for all? But there is a day of power right now where Jesus has been raised up in power, seated at the right hand of God, declared to have power and authority. And we also according to Ephesians, have the power and authority in Christ, because we're seated in the heavenlies with him, to go and rule and conquer. But here's what Satan has done. Well, it is loving to not say anything and not oppose people. And that is absolutely furthest from the truth. Because what is happening is Satan is winning our children. Satan is winning over people. And I need to say this, friends. And, you know, I've been meditating all week on this song. And I'm like, God, where are the volunteers that want to go out in your power? You shall receive what? Power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses. What witness? What are we going to witness to? That Jesus Christ is King and Lord. Okay? And that's what we see the church in the first century. We see the church going out and declaring, we only serve one king. We're not going to listen to you. We're going to listen to King Jesus because he's king. And we work for him. We have voluntarily chosen him to be king. We're not serving Caesar. We're not serving Trudeau or Ford or anybody else. We're serving King Jesus. When you get up in the morning, is that the attitude we have? Jesus Christ, you are my king, and I live for you, and I will do your will. I will obey your kingdom commandments, and I will go out. And if you say yes to that, if you do that in your heart and make him Lord and King of your life and choose to live for him, guess what? You have just painted a bullseye on you. And the enemy says, that is my enemy. And I need to take that person out. And how does he do it? With sickness? I'm actually going to show you something. Just came to me, 2 Timothy chapter 2. See, we are in the army of the Lord. We are soldiers for Christ. When we say yes to Jesus, we enlist in the Lord's army. Like any good soldier, he or she has to leave the world and follow their new leader. Are you with me? Have you made that choice? Jesus said, if you want to follow me, count the cost. Well, here's the cost. It's going to get ugly. There's going to be a lot of heartache and persecution and stuff that will happen to you if you follow me. But 2 Timothy 2, this is Paul talking to Timothy. Chapter 2, verse 1, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong, people of God, and the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So preach. Preach to others. Teach them to preach. And watch the verses 3 and 4. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Hardship. Why? Because you have enlisted in Christ's army as a soldier. No soldier, verse 4, in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. What is Paul saying? The moment you decide to work for Jesus and join his army, which is what Psalm 110 is all about, they will volunteer in your army on the day of your power, which is now. You will suffer. I don't know how you're going to suffer. You might suffer sickness. Satan comes and puts stuff on us. One of the ways we suffer is we get entangled, just like Paul says, in all the things of the world. And it's really hard to run as a soldier when your feet are all entangled in a net. But that's the picture he's using. If you sign up as a soldier, you need to leave the things of the world behind. If you're too much in the world, it's going to trip you up and you won't be able to fight the way you're supposed to. Are you with me? Your people will volunteer freely in the day of your power. Have we voluntarily laid down our lives and said yes to Jesus, I'm willing to fight for you in this day and age? Or am I just sitting back and watching and waiting till Jesus comes back? Because God is looking for people. He's looking for men and women who will go out in his power and preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And the second line in verse 3 of Psalm 110, in holy array, in the beauty of holiness. Holiness is separation. It's consecration. It's making a decision to live holy for Jesus Christ and leave the world behind. First, you have to say, yes, I'm going to join. Secondly, you have to say, I'm fully in. I'm all in. I'm leaving the world behind. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy. He who loves the world does not love God, John says. Okay? That's heavy-duty stuff. And I'm not condemning you. I'm challenging you to step in with both feet and say, yes, Jesus, I'm all in. Because that's what he's looking for. Because here's what's happening. The world is winning. It will win. But there needs to be at least a little resistance from the church. Am I wrong? I don't think it's right as a church of Jesus Christ to allow the world to teach our children what they're teaching them. There has to be, from the church, an opposition saying, absolutely not, we will not let you put that filth into our kids. Yeah. That requires an army. What kind of army? An army that is on their knees praying. We don't fight flesh and blood. We fight on our knees praying. Are you with me? So listen to me. I'm going to ask you. Number one, have you volunteered? All authority has been given to me. Now go, Jesus said. My God, Ephesians 3:20, can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. Right? He's put power in us. We have the authority and the ability. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. If we resist him, he will flee. Okay, these are all the scriptures that the New Testament writers wrote to us. Guys, there's an opposition out there. But we need to rise up in the power of Christ. We need to be totally in. And this is what Psalm 110 is saying. People, volunteer freely. Join God's army. Separate yourself from the world. From the womb of the dawn. This is a magnificent picture. Thy youth are to thee as the dew. I want you to see this picture. We were in Quebec for our holiday, and the first place we stayed was kind of in the mountains. Beautiful view from the back deck. And in the morning, there's moisture, and the sun would break through over the clouds, and you could see the dew on the leaves. Every morning now, because of the colder weather, we have dew on the grass. And if you see the dew, it's there all the time. I mean, there's always dew. There's always an exchange. I can get into all the ecology, but I don't know it. But the reality is, there's always dew because there's always condensation that comes down. But when the sun shines on it, it's like, wow, look at millions of little water droplets arrayed, like an army sitting there. And the sun is shining on them. And you really only get a picture of the army when the sun is shining on it, or of the dew when the sun is shining. Am I wrong? Have you ever looked out your window and see, or go for a walk in the morning, and you see the sun glistening through the droplets on the grass, and it's like, wow. Right? To me, that's the picture. And what is it about the morning? It's fresh. It's cool. It's new. It's new. And it's fresh. And it's cool. And there's, if you walk early in the morning, you get this energy in you just from, it's like all of life is coming back to life. Right? The whole world. And you get fired up, and that's the picture that he wants us to have here. Thy youth, the young ones are to you as the dew. We're not some old army of, a bunch of old soldiers who are all broken and weak. And the picture is we're new every morning. His mercies are new every morning. They're poured out on us. And we are the army of the living God. And he wants us to have that picture. That there's a freshness and a zeal we're saturating the ground. I mean, I could take this to the nth degree, but that's literally what happens with dew. It nourishes the ground with water. That's the image. We transform society as we get together and go out rather than society transforming us. Yeah. Right? But we only do that when Christ is king of our lives. There's so much I could say. But what struck me is this. It says, and I read to you from Matthew 22, it's also quoted in Mark 12, it's also quoted in Luke. It says, Holy Spirit speaks through David. David is writing to us. Holy Spirit is saying to us, the church, for right now, I believe this is a word for the church right now, is Jesus Christ your King? Do you see him high and lifted up, seated on his throne? Do you believe that God has made him both Lord and Christ, the way the Bible says? Do you believe that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords who will come back one day as that very thing? It'll be written on his thigh, on his white horse, and he will put an end to all this chaos. But right now, he is establishing his reign and rule as through his people as he expands the kingdom of God on planet Earth. And God wants us to hear very clearly, it is time for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up and be who they're supposed to be. Right? Not, you know, steamrolled over by society and all its craziness. Now think about this. We have a very visual illustration before us today. There's a war going on in Ukraine, started what, almost 7 months ago? When Russia declared war on Ukraine and started their assault, we had people voluntarily joining the army to defend their kingdom. Okay? People who weren't even born in Ukraine, but who were of Ukrainian descent, young people in their early 20s, both men and women, said, I am going voluntarily to fight against this enemy who is invading my homeland. They'd never been born in Ukraine, but they're Ukrainian by descent. But inside of them, there was a zeal to go and defend their home. Are you with me? We are citizens of a new kingdom. And there's an enemy that is trying to destroy this kingdom. And we are an army of God that needs to decide, are we going to sit back and say our days are numbered and we're just going to wait for the king to kick butt and rule and that's it? Or are we going to say, no, I am a witness for Jesus Christ and I've been given power and authority in Christ. And I'm going out and I'm going to fight and I'm going to voluntarily go and declare that Jesus Christ is King and Lord. And tell the world that we're not going to stand for what they're teaching our kids and then we're not going to stand for what they're doing to the church. And we're going to have opportunity. I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to have opportunity very soon with the new, you know, they're already ramping up their vocabulary. That another wave is coming, that the flu is coming, that COVID is going to be crazy in the fall and in winter. And guess what's coming next? They're going to start closing down churches and they're going to close down gatherings. And we're going to need to decide, are we going to say absolutely not? The Church of Jesus Christ is not closed down ever. We're commanded to gather. We're commanded to hear the word of the Lord. Are we going to do that? See, we're going to get another opportunity, a kick at the cat. Instead of a few little guys who are arrested and we go, oh, those stupid guys, why did they do that? Why don't they just submit to the authority? No, we don't submit to the stupid authority, okay? We submit to Jesus Christ, and when he says gather and declare the kingdom, we go and do it. That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. When the government says, we're going to jack your interest rates up to 20% and you need to leave your house or pay us, we're going to say, no, this is the Lord gave me this house. I'm not leaving. Like, friends, if we, you know, what's the word? Just passively lay there and let the enemy steamroll us, we're done. And I'm not pushing for resistance or rebellion. I'm just saying we will obey God, not man, just like they did in the Bible. Okay? Think about that. When you make that decision, you're going to suffer. That's what Paul says. Are you willing to suffer for Christ? And please hear me. I'm not advocating rebellion. I'm not advocating getting in a transport truck and driving to Ottawa and protesting. I'm not advocating that. I'm advocating stand on the word of God. Okay? Defend your house. Is that what you said? That's a good one. Especially your children. I will not allow my children to be taught what you're teaching them. I will take them out. If I have to work 6 jobs, if I have to stay home and get rid of all of my toys and go down to 1 car and eat macaroni and cheese, I will put my kids in Christian school. Okay? Seriously, are we willing? That's the type of stuff I'm talking about. Or would we just, you know, throw our kids in that environment to hear? I can't even go into what they're teaching, starting with five-year-olds. And it gets progressively worse and worse as they go through school. We are not a passive church. We are the church of Jesus Christ. They used to say in the old days, we're the church militant. We are the army of God. And we sing those songs, right? But an army is separate. They've come out of the world and they've joined the army. And we need to decide that. And there is a freshness that comes on those. What does Isaiah 40 say? Even when you're weary and tired, he gives, verse 29 of Isaiah 40, he gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly. Vigorous young men, those are the young men, right? We just saw in verse 3 of Psalm 110, those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. God promises to give you everything you need to keep fighting, to keep representing Jesus Christ. The question is, will we? Will we be who we're called to be? I was out for a walk this morning. It was pouring rain. I loved it. It was a beautiful morning. It was warm and rainy. And, you know, whenever you preach, you're going to be tested on what you preach, so I've really been sensing a fresh fire, like a fresh anointing. I don't want to sound too charismatic here, but just a fresh calling from the Lord to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I was out walking, and before I go, I always say, Lord, lead me to who you want, and I want to, you know, anybody, I'll talk to anybody. I want to get over, like, any fear of man. I don't care. Just send me. I'm willing. I'm able. I want to do it. So this morning, of course, because I'm preaching on being a soldier, I get tested. And I'm walking down, and I'm near Mary's house, and there's someone sitting in a car in the park. And I start hearing God's, like, go talk to that person. But they're in a car, and their window's down, and their head's down. And, of course, like a good, obedient Christian, I walk by the car and keep going, and God's like, starts telling me what to say. I want you to declare that Jesus died for their sins and that Jesus is coming back as King and Lord and you need to receive him. Woo! I don't normally get clear specifics like that. So I go around the block. It's a long block and I'm trying to talk myself into going to this person. And I go all the way around and back down the hill by Mary's house and down the hill. And okay, God, and I'm like, you know, I hope the car's not there anymore. But there it is. And the window's completely up, completely shut. So now, I got to walk over and knock on the window. Can't just stand on the other side of the road and yell through the window. So I go up and I knock on the window and I said, good morning, beautiful morning. She said, yeah, it's lovely out. I said, well, I'm just a messenger of God. And I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you need to receive him as Lord and Savior of your life, and he's King. And bow your knee. And she's like, I don't want to do that. I said, have a wonderful day. And I went on my way. That was it. There was no stars or angels come out. You know, it was, I did exactly what God told me to do. And it was a test, right? Am I going to have the fear of man? Am I going? And it happened to be a woman, by the way. It looked like a man, and I thought, well, I can talk to men. But you know, you knock on the window, and it's a woman alone in the car. You get a little. But honestly, I really felt the unction of the Spirit to go and do that. So, and then I walked away and started praying that God would use this. And that's what I mean. I feel a fresh fire coming on the church. Kim, you're right in my line. I'm sorry, I'm going to use you as an example. If you know Kim, she's pretty bold. She's a pretty faithful servant. She's out there, right, on the front lines. And she's been experiencing some health issues. And many of you know that because she's good to call for prayer. And I don't know where others are at, but if you're living on the front lines, you will be, I said this, but God really wants me to emphasize it, you will be attacked. And when we dropped in at Kim and Jim's just to say hi. And what struck me when Kim shared, and we were talking, and it's also my own experience, and many of us, when a physical thing comes on us, when we're being faithful and obedient to the Lord, it's the enemy trying to get us to stop. And we know that because when we pray and bind and loose and pray in tongues, do whatever we got to do, the symptoms go away. So it's a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. Are you with me? Okay? That's how you know. You know, it's not because you're tired or you got a cold or something. It's you just know this is not right. That's the time we really fight. Okay? But if you know Kim and other people like her, they've made a choice. It's Jesus Christ. I'm going to live for him. And I'm going to do what he commands me to do. And that is, by the way, the definition of a Christian. They follow Jesus wherever and whenever he says to go and do. It's in the battling, in the battle, in the everyday life of living as a follower of Jesus and experiencing the persecution, as you read in the book of Acts, that you discover that when you fully commit yourself to Christ, like he's asking us to do in Psalm 110, there is an empowering and a grace that happens to persevere even when life is really difficult, even when physically you're struggling. There is an anointing and a power to get through that. He promises to never leave us and never forsake us. He promises to supply all of our needs, including the ability even to wake up in the morning, okay, when it's hard, or to do the things, the supernatural things. The point is, if God calls you, which he is calling each one of us to, he will equip us. He will supply. How do we release that anointing and power and grace? Is obedience. He cannot bless disobedience. But when we say yes to Jesus, I will follow wherever you take me, I will do whatever you ask me to do, then the blessing of God comes on your life in whatever form you need. Are you with me? And I just say that, I'm going to wrap up with this. What do you need to disentangle yourself from, in the words of Paul to Timothy, in order to fully and wholly volunteer and walk in holiness with your God? Only you can answer that, and I leave it with you. We are living in a day where the enemy is crazily advancing his kingdom, and it looks like the kingdom of God is suffering violence and shrinking, but it's not. The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent lay hold of it. The ones who really want it will lay hold of the kingdom of God. And that's what Jesus said in Matthew. Okay? It's time, friends. It's time. It's time to rise up. And Church of Jesus Christ, it is time to be the church, the called out ones, the ones who say yes to Jesus. I will follow you no matter what the cost. I will speak no matter what the cost. I will lay down my fears and my inhibitions and all my beliefs about everything else, and I will just follow you. And I want to speak to the men here, because I believe the men need to lead this. God has destined you to be soldiers in his army, to lead your families and lead valiantly as mighty men of God. And Paul writes to Timothy, and I believe this word is for you, disentangle yourself from the things that easily ensnare you and fight the fight. Okay, that is the admonition to young men and men who really want to follow God. Just get rid of all the stuff. Like, spend time with God and hear God say, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be spending so much time here. You shouldn't be spending so much money here. You are a mighty man of God. And just like David, you can go against a troop and scale over a wall. That's who God wants you to be. And that's who he made you to be. Men, it is time to rise up and in the power of Christ, rule and reign, which we're destined to do according to Romans 5. Okay? I'm going to stop because I could keep going forever. But I just really want to encourage you. Personally, it bothers me to see what the world is doing and the church is going along with it. We keep saying, oh, we need to reach the world. We need to come up with great strategies to reach the world. Here's how you reach the world. Go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit.